morning, McFarland. My name is Wendy Neal. I am the Senior Associate Pastor here, and I am so happy to worship with you and to proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Happy Juneteenth and happy Father's Day. We are so glad that you are worshiping with us on this holiday weekend and giving thanks to God for his provision and for his guidance. We celebrate that Pastor Rockford is able to take some time off and be with his family this summer, and we are so excited to have our Director of Missions, Scott Meyer, who is going to be bringing God's Word to us today. Let us know that you are here by filling out the registration pads that the ushers are passing out at this time. If you are worshiping with us online, welcome. We are so glad that you are here. If you will click on that connect button and let us know that you're here, we would really appreciate it. If this is your first time worshiping with us, we hope to get to meet you today. And if you will fill out the connect card that is in the pew in front of you and then take that after worship to the back of the sanctuary, we have a gift bag that we would like to give you as our way of saying thank you for being here. Tomorrow, we have 20 students and 5 adults who are going to be going to church camp this week, and so we just ask that you would keep that group in your prayers, that they would experience God's presence and power and love in a real way, that they would grow in their faith, and that they would come back and share their experience with us. And also, we are on countdown for Vacation Bible School. It is just 1 week away, and we are still looking for some adults to say yes to serving God through Vacation Bible School next week. It starts on the 27th, goes through the 30th. We still need some folks to be a part of our security team, some photographers, and some to be our group helpers that take groups from one activity to the next. And so you can sign up online and also register your children and your grandchildren at the same time. It's going to be such an amazing week. It's one of those experiences for children that they remember for the rest of their lives. And so I hope that you will come and be a part of that. We have a really wonderful service of worship today, and so we are going to begin by standing and opening our hymnals to number 154. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6, and so let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the responsive reading that is printed in your bulletin and that is on the screen. People of God, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We trust that through prayer and worship, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. People of God, let us seek the things that are above and set our minds on higher things. With God's help, we will think about whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, and whatever is commendable. And if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, we will think about these things. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God of all creation, we join our voices to praise you today, singing of your wonders and giving thanks for your grace and your care, and celebrating the joys of life that you have blessed us with, family and friends, new relationships and deeper relationships, new life and transformed lives, reconciliation and restoration, freedom and equality. On this day, we are especially grateful for the gifts of fathers, the gifts of being a father and for fathers that we miss. God, we thank you for the many ways that our fathers have shaped us, for their example and their love. Yet we also pray for those who have painful relationships with their fathers, those who are estranged from their fathers and fathers who are estranged from their children. And God, we pray for those who are unwilling or unable to accept the responsibilities of fatherhood. Gracious God, all of our prayers are summed up in the longing for your kingdom, that wonderful, amazing, and new reality that is emerging all around us. God, we know that in your wisdom and love, you made all things. And so especially today, we ask that you would bless these men, that they may be strengthened as Christian fathers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth, and grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. And so today, we join our voices together, O God, praying for the coming of your kingdom, using the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Church, please join me in thanking and welcoming to our service the Sing For You Children's Choir. The Sing For You Children's Choir is conducted by Ting Ting Tang, who is a member of our chancel choir. Thank you so much, Ting, for bringing these children here. Speaking of the choir, you notice that the choir loft has been empty a few weeks here, and we've given the chancel choir some time to rest. and regroup. But the summer choir starts this Wednesday, June 22nd. It's from 7 to 8. I'm going to make a pitch here for those of you, all of you, because I have never worked in a church that has a congregation that sings as beautiful and as powerful and as sincere as you sing every Sunday. It's quite wonderful to be up here and watch all of you sing. And I know a lot of you are great singers, because I can just tell by the way you're tearing into these hymns we always sing. So this is a time that I'm inviting you, middle school, high school, college, adults, you can, at 7 o'clock, just come to the choir room downstairs, and we'll sing only the 11 o'clock services through July and June. This does not, and August. It does not mean you have to sing every single Sunday, but if you've ever wanted to sing in a choir or have sung in a choir before, it's time to you know, join us for the summer choir. We're also going to do just a quick review of some fundamentals of singing and some reading of music and so forth, so if you're interested, just show up. That would be wonderful to see you. And my last announcement is please take a hymnal, stand, and turn to hymn 171, and we'll sing together, "There's Something About That Name." Thank you.
We give God our gifts today knowing that God is the Father of gifts. God watches over us constantly, is caring for us always, and as we have been abundantly provided for, so we give abundantly to the work of God here in this place and around the world to care for those in need, to share the good news with those who need good news. And so may God bless our tithes and our offerings today. You may be seated.
Yeah.
Our scripture today comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians in the second chapter. Think on these things. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
To be in worship together this morning. Those of you who are joining online, thank you for being here. So since it's Father's Day, I thought we'd start with a couple of dad jokes. You ready? Okay. You got to pay attention. Two guys walked into a bar. The third guy ducked. My delivery must not be very good because the first service did the same thing. All right, how about this one? Where do you find a cow? Where do you find a cow with no legs? Wherever you left it. Warming you up. We're warming you up. Maybe I should have had somebody else do these. Why are bakers so rich? They make a lot of dough. All right, that's not why you came. Let's do a little sermon here. Will you pray with me? God, I'm thankful for the opportunity this morning to share with this incredible group of people. I ask that you will open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear what it is that you want to say to us today. And then more than just hearing, we can think about how we can be about doing your word and your work in this world. In Christ's name, amen. When I was a freshman in college, I had one of those classes where I was in a huge lecture hall. There were hundreds of students there, and I always sat towards the back. And one of the things I discovered as the semester went on that I kind of was having trouble focusing and reading the screen up at the front, and just kind of everything was sort of, maybe it was because it was a math class. I don't know if that's the main reason. But what I found out when I went home for Christmas was that I needed glasses. And glasses have helped me bring into focus and allow me to see what I otherwise would be missing. The letter from Paul to the Christians in the city of Philippi serves as a guide for us to make sure that we have full focus what it means to live our life as a follower of Jesus. And over these next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the book of Philippians, serving as a guide for us to think on what it is that God wants us to know through the writings of Paul. And this morning, I want you to imagine that this isn't so much a writing to Paul or from Paul to the Philippian church. I want you to imagine that this is actually a writing to us here at McFarland this morning, both as a collective body of people and also individually. So in Philippians chapter 2, there are two main themes that I want to focus on this morning, two themes from Philippians chapter 2. The first is that we should have the mind of Christ. We should have the mind of Christ. Paul states in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, we should be of the same mind, or as the NIV translation says, we should be like-minded. Our call is to have the mind of Christ and then work together to live out God's call on our lives, both our lives as a member of this church, but also our lives individually. The second theme I want us to talk about this morning is that we should treat others better than we treat ourselves. We should treat others better than we treat ourselves. So let's start with being of the same mind or being like-minded. The call of followers of Jesus is to look to Jesus for the ways that we are to see the world and the ways that we are to respond to the needs around us. We look to Jesus and then strive to have the mind of Christ. So Jesus is our example, and then we strive to think as we think Jesus would think. Jesus becomes our standard. We should think like Jesus, we should respond like Jesus, we should serve like Jesus, we should love like Jesus. Jesus as our example. And we are strongest when we are unified and working together for the kingdom of God here on earth. Throughout history, when the church has worked together, what has been accomplished by the church has literally changed history. And our call as followers of Jesus isn't simply to go to church. Our call is to be the church, to use Jesus as our example, and to be the church out into the world. And by being the church, we go into the world, we go into our community, and we help the hurting, we help the hopeless, and we help the marginalized. We are to be there to comfort those who are in need. We are to be there to walk alongside those in times of sorrow and struggle. We are to be there to help lift people out of poverty and out of desperate situations. When we come together and look to Jesus, we are empowered through God's Spirit to tackle the issues of our day. And when we look to Jesus as our guide, we are given a template of how to respond to the needs of this world. You know, one of the things I love about McFarland is I love our mission statement, changing lives that change the world. As we as a church continue to live into that, we are impacting people here in our own community and around the world. I've seen groups of people in this church rally around someone in a time of need and walk with them through that dark and difficult time. I've seen people come together to talk about and tackle the big issues that we face in our society. And I've watched groups of people come together and tackle projects where lives are literally changed. And as director of missions, when I represent McFarland in the community, when we talk about things that are going on in our community and how we can help those in need, homelessness and other issues here in our community, the reputation that this church has, that we care about people, and that we will make a difference. It is incredible what we are able to do and what we are doing. People know that they can count on McFarland. And I truly believe that that is because of the focus of our mission and the fact that we're all living into that mission to change lives and to change the world. So I want to use our missions as kind of an example of what it means to have the mind of Christ and then to work together to solve issues. And I'm going to use three areas. Now let me say this. I'm lifting up missions and I'm the director of missions, but I want to make sure that you understand these are things that McFarland have been doing long before I transitioned into being director of missions. I just get to kind of live around the great work of many people in this church. But there are three focus areas that I see that we're kind of moving into when we talk about missions at McFarland and where we're having the mind of Christ and really making a difference. The first is housing. The second is food insecurity. And the third is education. Excuse me. So when we talk about housing, McFarland is committed to making sure that people have housing. We have done that through, we built a Habitat for Humanity house in Noble last year. For years, we've been going to South Texas and the border cities in Mexico, building houses for people in need. Our United Methodist men have helped repair homes and build wheelchair ramps so that people can remain in their homes. Our utilities assistance ministry helps cover people's bills when they get in a bind so that they can keep their electricity and their water on so that they can remain at home.
oftentimes when we do that, what that does is that frees up money that might be tight for that particular family so that they can pay for other things, other necessities in their life. We are working with an organization in Oklahoma City called the Lazarus Project that's working with homeless people and people who are seeking housing to make sure that they can move from homelessness to being in stable housing. And it's exciting to watch these partnerships. So McFarland has been involved in housing for many, many years. And you know that in our community right now, homelessness is a big issue. It's a topic that's being talked about by many leaders in our community. And let me say, McFarland is getting to be a part of those conversations. People in our community are looking to us to be leaders to help those people who are looking for stable housing. Let me talk about food insecurity. Through the work of our food pantry and our mobile food pantry, we are tackling what is an ever-growing problem in our community. In 2021, last year, there were 33,000 people in Cleveland County who were food insecure. That's 11% of our population. That means 11% of the people in Cleveland County don't have regular access to affordable and nutritious food. That is a number that is going to grow. We're seeing inflation, our food pantry is seeing more and more families show up. And I'm proud to say McFarland's food pantry and our mobile food pantry is getting food into the hands of families in need. And watching our food pantry folks interact with families and people who come seeking a little bit of help is absolutely incredible. This is not just handing a bag of food to somebody and sending them on their way. Our food pantry folks know these people, know how to be praying for them. And I will tell you that there is lots of space. If you're looking for a meaningful place to volunteer, our food pantry and mobile food pantry are great places to serve. And I see us expanding that. When we enter into the building of a new food pantry, we're going to be able to expand to the number of people that we reach each and every day, making sure that they have food, which is, as you know, is pretty important. Let me talk about education. We have partnerships with three elementary schools and a middle school here in Norman. I'm really proud of the partnerships that we have with schools and working with the Norman Public Schools. We help teachers make sure that they have the supplies that they need. We make sure that children have snacks during the day. And my hope is that in the fall, we're able to put volunteers back into classrooms to help children with reading and math and other academic skills. One of the things that McFarland was able to do this past year is we purchased for Irving Middle School a set of reading books that help children who are reading below level. So there are children in our middle schools who are reading at a first and second grade level. And there's a set of books that are absolutely incredible at helping kids quickly advance so that they are reading on level. Unfortunately, this isn't a cheap resource, and the Norman Public Schools have not had the funds to purchase those. So we at McFarland, through your giving, through your tithes and offerings, we were able to purchase this set of books for Irving Middle School. And just a couple of weeks ago, I contacted the Norman Public Schools, and my goal is to raise enough money to buy that set of books for every middle school in Norman so that all four middle schools have access to this resource. Listen, children can move out to where God is calling them to be when they can read. When they're able to excel academically, we know that God is going to be able to use them in incredible ways. We know that education is a way out of poverty, and I'm thankful for what McFarland has continued to do. In Tanzania, we have an amazing partnership with Pastor Umba Kalangwa, and you've heard us talk about him very often, but one of the things that we really work with in Tanzania is their education. Pastor Umba runs an elementary school called the Wesley Primary School. It's one of the top-ranked schools in all of Tanzania. This year, McFarland Church is scholarshipping 50 children to go to that school. Many of those children are from tribes outside of the area, and we're making sure that they have access to education. In addition to that, last year we started scholarshipping 12 children from the Maasai tribe. The Maasai tribe in Tanzania is an extremely poor tribe. And for many people in that tribe, education is simply not an opportunity because they can't afford it. Of those 12 children that we are sending to high school, 8 of them are girls. And here's the really incredible thing. Those are the first 8 girls from the Maasai tribe to ever go to high school. Why are they going to high school? Because we heard the call of Jesus to make a difference in the world. We became like-minded in our missions committee, and we decided to make a difference. In addition to that, we're also paying the salaries of 4 elementary teachers who are serving in that Maasai tribe. When it comes to being like-minded, you and I don't always have to agree on the how. You have different perspectives and experiences than my perspective and experiences. And when we come together, when we listen to what the Spirit of God is calling us to do, and we come together and serve, it is absolutely incredible what we are able to do here and around the world. We are literally changing lives for people. And let me say that when McFarland puts our collective minds together to something, we are a force that is nearly unstoppable. So the second theme in Philippians chapter 2 is the call given to us in verses 3 and 4. And it says this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Serving others is something that we are called to do both collaboratively and individually. It's something we're called to do as the church and something we're called to do as individuals. I learned about serving and putting others first from my dad. My dad was a State Farm insurance agent for many years, and when I was in high school and then during summers in college, I would work in his office. And I remember an experience one day when a gentleman came into the office to buy an insurance policy. And my dad stood at the counter talking to him and explained to him that the company and the policy that he had with a competitor was actually better than the one that he had to offer him. That made a tremendous impact in my life, that when we're going to talk about serving the needs of other people, we need to look to their interests first. What is best for them? And so often, what is in our DNA is for us to think about ourselves first. The expectation that we regard others as better than ourselves is not some willy-nilly idea that Paul came up with in hopes of having the Philippian community get along. The idea of regarding others better than ourselves actually gets its origins in the Ten Commandments. You remember in the Ten Commandments is found in Exodus chapter 20 that the first 4 commandments talk about our relationship with God. The second 6 commandments talk about our relationships with each other. All 10 commandments are directing us to think about God and others before we think about ourselves. God's call to God's people is that we think outside of ourselves. Selfishness, or thinking of others, or thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, or putting ourselves or our own interests above the interests of others, is not of God. It's actually born out of that selfishness that we found from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they had disregard to what God desired them to do. We have to think about it. Putting others first is something that you think about every single day. It doesn't come naturally in our human nature. So we have to be on the lookout each and every day. Where do I have the opportunity to put somebody else's interest before mine? And in doing so, we end up honoring God. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is questioned by the Jewish authorities to define which of the commandments is the most important. And Jesus brilliantly responds that the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is like it, to love others. By responding to the question this way, Jesus is intertwining the love of God with the love of others. Basically, you can't love God if you don't love others. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, John puts it this way: those who say they love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love the one they have not seen. Our love of God is expressed in large part in the way that we love others. And when Paul writes to regard others better than ourselves, he is emphasizing this very idea. We should love God more than anything else. Philippians 3:8, the chapter of Philippians we'll talk about next Sunday in worship, says this, Philippians 3:8, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus as my Lord. When we say yes to Jesus, it becomes the most important thing in our lives. That's the thing we should think on. That's the thing that we should try to be like. Nothing else matters when we say yes to Jesus than being like Jesus. And when you stop and realize what Jesus did for us on the cross, everything else pales in value. There is nothing more valuable in our life than the grace that's afforded to us by God through Jesus Christ. And when we say yes to Jesus, we are saying yes to a life that should look like Jesus' life. We don't just say yes to the grace, we actually say yes to being a follower of Jesus, striving for a life that looks like Jesus. So we think about, what is it that Jesus did? Jesus healed the sick. He loved the unlovable. He hung out and ate with sinners. He fed the hungry. He tended to the poor and the lame. And in the end, Jesus gave it all of his life for all of us, for all of humanity. And you and I are called to do no less. So a great example of putting others first actually happened many years ago when we were building houses in Mexico. We were in a small town of Nuevo Progreso, Mexico, and we had a team of kids and adults that were building a house, and next door to this little cement block house that they were building was a family that owned a pig. This pig was huge, and this pig smelled, and this pig spent the entire day grunting, and he actually was kind of disturbing the group. The kids kind of in this group talked a lot about the pig. It sort of became kind of what they spoke the most about. Thursday morning of that week, when we were building the houses, the community that we were building for put on a lunch for everybody who was building houses. There were groups from Oklahoma and other places in the country that all had converged onto this little community, and we were building houses. And so the families in the neighborhood decided to put on a lunch for us. And I got to tell you, they were the best tamales. I've had good tamales. These were the best tamales I ever had. They were the best beef tamales, the best chicken tamales, and the best pork tamales. Yeah, you know where this is going, right? So Thursday afternoon, after this luncheon is going on, I go to visit this group that's next to the house that had the pig, and there's this murmur going on as a group of kids come running up to my van, appalled that the pig is gone, and they want to know, did we eat the pig? Now, I, being a good youth director, made up some excuse and then drove away really quickly, but come to find out, yes, we ate the pig. And it was one of those things that it was a little disturbing, right? But the interesting thing is that this family gave up this incredible resource they owned. This pig that could have fed their family. This pig that could have been sold and raised money for their family. This family that sacrificed their pig. This family that thought of us better than themselves. Wasn't even one of the families we were building a house for. They just saw an opportunity to serve and to love and to think about others better than ourselves. Than themselves. And I've thought about that a lot in my life, about that sacrifice that they made for us and what it symbolized. And are there ways in my own life, in my each and every day life, that I can do something similar, something that's important to me? What is it that I can give up and share? So the challenge I lay before us today is for us to continue to come together to serve the needs of not only the Norman community, but around the world. You know, serving others is in the McFarland DNA. It's a part of who we are. It is who McFarland is. Way back before there was a McFarland church, you'll remember there was a McFarland family. Robert and Ida McFarland came to Norman in 1890, and while they were here, gave birth to a little baby, Robert. In 1891, that one-month-old baby, he died of typhoid fever. It was the Methodists in this community who surrounded the McFarland family, caring for them and loving them in their time of need. And later on, when the McFarlands had moved and struck it rich when oil was discovered under their land near Tulsa, they began a life of philanthropy, it should have been easier to say, which included the building of this church. You and I are called to continue to do the work of Jesus here and around the world, to look to Jesus as our example, and then to live a life worthy of the calling that Jesus has given to each and every one of us. We are called to that collectively as a church, and we are called to that individually when we leave this place and go out into a world that has incredible needs. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for the way that you call us. Thank you, O God, for the way that you empower us. I pray, O God, that we can continue to be a church that's like-minded with you, and that we can think of others better than ourselves, that we can use you as our example when we are challenged to not do that, and that you will bless our work, that we can continue to change lives that change the world, here and around the world. In Christ's name, amen. Will you stand and join with me as we sing hymn 327, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Being in worship with us this morning. It was a joy just to be together, and I pray that you have an incredible week. I now have the opportunity to send you out into the world. I send you forth, sharing the peace and the love and the hope and the joy of Jesus Christ to every person you come into contact with in every way that you possibly can. Let us be like-minded, put others first, and go serve the world. In Christ's name, amen.